Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here. Well, it's a new week, and there's another guest who shares and reflects on her career journey and offers plenty of advice to you on how to embrace innovation, creativity, and insight, and to be a problem solver. I sat down with Amy Piles, who is the president of Saxum, which is a digital integrated agency. And Amy and her team, they solve complex problems for brands and organizations. And she helps brands to make better connections with the people they serve. She works with companies such as Walmart, Procter & Gamble, and Anheuser-Busch. And Amy and I discussed a lot of different topics, but she focused on how to embrace technology insights and innovation and to be a better problem solver, and how women, what skills they need specifically, and how they can use those skills to climb up the corporate org chart. Amy also shares something really interesting and gives advice about why women have such unrealistic expectations and how they can get past that. And that's unrealistic expectations for themselves. I could go on and on about Amy, but I think it's time she shares her journey and advice with you. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Amy, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you're here. Let's just dive right in. So tell me, what put you on the path to helping brands use technology and insights and creativity?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my career out at a leadership and development organization as I was getting my master's. And the project that I was put in charge of was redoing our website. And so I got to work with this really awesome agency to build the site. And I loved the process so much of how we brought creativity and the analytical thinking of how you lay out a website, that when I was finished with that master's program, I jumped over to the digital agency and worked for them. And I was able to spend 8 years with that agency. And during that time, Twitter launched, Facebook just opened up for marketing, and blogging became a thing of how do you leverage bloggers to promote brands. The iPhone launched, and all of these big brands were trying to figure out how do we leverage all of this innovation to reach our customers, to deliver value to our customers. And so I got to be at the cutting edge of all of that and be positioned as their digital innovations partner within that agency. So I just fell in love with how you can bring the complexity of technology, the efficiency of it, and marry that with the creativity of branding and marketing communications to be able to forge those connections. And then I jumped over to Saxum about 7 years ago to lead our digital practice and build that up here where we're making meaningful and measurable change with some of those same tools. So I've just, like I said, I love it. There's a lot of change, a lot of creativity, and a lot to learn every day within this space.
Oh, you said it. And it's so refreshing because you're excited about technology and innovation and creativity. Yeah. Because I remember when Twitter launched and then Facebook was for business, there were so many brands and executives, no less, who were frightened.
Absolutely.
Literally frightened of the change. And that alone takes time and nurturing. I can only imagine getting other professionals to come along with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anytime there's innovation like that, it can be so scary, especially when suddenly Technology allowed your customers and communities to say whatever they wanted to say. And you couldn't control that even at all. And so being able to navigate even just kind of that PR side of it and that brand reputation side of it could be really scary, but it was really fun to help brands figure out the right way to do that, the right way to engage. And it's been, you know, just powerful for so many brands now because of it.
Absolutely. There's always strategy behind it. Now, you talk about sometimes when we talk about technology and innovation, and even you said working with websites, a lot of the tech space has been with many men, and getting into that space as a woman and working with brands, you definitely have to show your skills and be a leader. So what do you think it is about you or other women that lets you connect and do what you do and be successful, be a leader?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is being curious and being a great listener. You know, I think that that is, it's just a skill that I think we as women leaders bring to the table naturally, and being able to really listen and hear that problem and having the aptitude of technology or innovation allows you to be a really great problem solver for brands and be able to translate back and forth between really technical speak into something that resonates into the business impact, or how do we deploy this technology that sounds really scary, but what's that actually going to do from a change management and from an end result perspective? That's been the sweet spot that I like to play, is not going deep into all of the technical details, but really focusing on what are we trying to accomplish? How do we bridge those gaps so that something that seems scary is less scary to a client, to a colleague, to an executive?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's critical to be able to break that down. And if you're not listening and continuing to ask the right questions, it's almost a doctor who keeps asking questions. Mm-hmm. And then after a series of answers and 30 minutes later, you're actually getting to the root of the issue and the problem. Absolutely. So that you can solve it. So do you think that, was it your training? What did you start off with a mathematical mindset, technical, to get where you are? Is that something that women should look at in terms of skills?
You know, I did not. So I went to school for marketing, but my aptitude is that. I was always the person at home on anything that I was just going to push buttons and see what happens. I wasn't afraid. I was like, if I break it, well, there's probably an escape or a back out. So it definitely isn't training I had. I did not get an IT. I can't write a line of code. I can't do any of that. But I was interested. And so I sat next to developers. I sat with technical architects and I said, explain it to me. I don't need to know the code, but talk me through the logic side of it. And once that skill came, just the logic piece of it, then how you deploy technology became a lot clearer to me and how it was solving problems. So again, I just kind of married my curiosity with some of my natural aptitude of logic and let's just try this and see what happens. That kind of just married those two passions together.
I think that's really good. There are probably women and maybe men who look at the technology and data, and if you get too technical, it can be overwhelming. It's outside of the comfort zone. But I love the way that you framed it to say, okay, don't give me the tech and the coding, but make me understand. And that speaks to your curiosity and your listening. That's really good. Have you had many women who have been your role models? In other words, whether they were the ones you were asking who were the technical side and the coders, or other women around you, maybe who were marketers who you looked up to?
Absolutely. You know, when I think back to kind of mentors that have really shaped me, I can think of three very clear kind of phases of mentors that I had. I think my first mentor in that kind of first role as I jumped into agency, she taught me how to be confident and how to use my voice, how to speak up and have an opinion within that, which was such a critical skill, I think, when you're early in your career, is just to how to lean into that. And then my next mentor was our CFO. And she taught me about the business. So how does all of this play together to actually make money for the business and think through the kind of the business strategy side of it? And then I've had an amazing mentor here at Saxum who then kind of rounded out some of the rough edges of me, if I'm honest, of how to bring empathy and great people leadership to those technical skills that I have to be more effective. And so each one of those women really helped shape, I think, critical skills and phases of my leadership.
Well, you said it. Talk about well-rounded, right? Voice, speak up, the business strategy. And that's something that I see a lot where people have skills, but if you can't take the skills or your knowledge and understand what you're doing for the business and those higher level objectives, then it's not worth your time if you can't show that. And then, of course, now the empathy piece and the compassion that you need for people. I think that's amazing for you to have mentors like that. So many women have said that they have a hard time finding mentors. And I'm wondering, was it difficult for you to find mentors, or what would you tell somebody now if they wanted to find a mentor?
Yeah. I mean, I think I have been lucky that each one has been my direct supervisor, and I just had amazing relationships in that form. But I think it also takes being willing to put yourself out there and say, I need this. Because I think mentorship is a two-way street. So you've got to come ready to receive it and want it and ask for it and be proactive in that piece of it. And then I think that I've always experienced when you come that way, you're going to receive, you know, amazing advice and just people pouring into you when you come like ready to be, again, curious and humble and open to all of their expertise.
So true. What do you think if somebody, whether it's not making the choice to say, I need this, there are obstacles. There are definitely obstacles when you're on a path and you want to be a leader, you don't know how to get there. So what do you think are some of the common obstacles that you've seen in your career with women trying to get to the top of that org chart, so to speak?
Yeah. I think we can get in our own way a lot of the time. I think we are wonderful at setting really high expectations, but unrealistic and unattainable ones on ourselves. And when we do that, it shatters our confidence because we quickly realize I can't meet the expectations that I set on myself that were expectations I'd never set on somebody else. They're completely unrealistic. And that starts to chip away at that confidence to speak up, to believe in yourself, and settles into some fear within that. And so that's something that I've seen in a lot of just women leaders as they're trying to kind of work through that piece of it. And one of the things that we say a lot here at Saxum is, who says you can't?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. How often can you ask yourself, who says you can't do that? And it's this mix of inhibition. So what have I put onto myself that's my own inhibitions versus prohibitions that somebody's actually said, no, you can't do that. And those are typically very small prohibitions, but the inhibitions are what hold us back. So if we can ask ourselves that question more regularly of who says you can't do that, who says you can't be that, and what does it look like to be that, and start to paint that picture and have that mantra in our head, it'll unlock some of those unrealistic expectations and fear of failure and lack of confidence that we put on ourselves.
Well, you just answered my question because I was going to ask you why. Why do we do that? Why do we have these expectations? But you kind of gave me the way to get out of it so that you don't go down that path. That's amazing. Maybe with all of your experience and everything that you've done in your career so far, it's always fun when a Women Worldwide guest shares that big uh-oh or aha moment, right? That moment where you learn something that sticks with you either in your life or for the rest of your career. So what can you share?
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many typically the mistakes we make.
We want to hear the first one.
I know. No, but I will share one. So my natural tendency is to make fast decisions and kind of plow through. I see a goal, I'm going to go get it. I can be very kind of assertive and direct within that, which can be great at like accomplishing results and doing all those things. But you can look behind you and realize you've left a wake in your path as you do that. And so one of the things that I learned is that in my desire for speed and results, I have to slow down to speed up. And that means I have to slow down to explain the why to the team that I'm working with. I have to slow down to ask for more counsel along the way so that one, there's buy-in, and also there's no way that I am seeing every, you know, facet of a decision that I make. And when I don't slow down, I will hit roadblocks in change management or in execution of, you know, this grand vision that I thought was going to be glorious, but I didn't slow down to explain that why. So that's something that I'm constantly learning. And luckily I have an amazing team that will remind me when I need to be reminded to do that. But that's been a big lesson that I have learned, continue to learn and tell myself is just that slow down to speed up and make sure you're bringing others along with you.
No, that's really good. And it speaks to your self-awareness of how you are. Seriously, that is emotional intelligence. I know empathy is a part of emotional intelligence, but this self-awareness of how we act, what we do, and how we regulate ourselves so that we don't have others having knee-jerk reactions around us or we can't manage those emotions. What's really interesting about what you said, the assertive, the direct, the speed. Have you ever read the book Surrounded by Idiots?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. I'm reading it. It's by Thomas Erickson. I think that's his name. And it's all about the DISC profile and the behaviors. Yeah. So there's the reds, the yellows, the greens, the blues, and most of us are two or three colors. Rarely you're ever just one or all four colors. And when you said the assertive, the direct, the speed, that does speak to red. But what's interesting is you have a blend of other colors as you explained your story. And in that book, it teaches you how all the colors can interact and how we behave and how others react to us. So for everybody who's watching or listening, it's a really good book if you want to understand behaviors, especially in the organizations and with teams. Well, thank you for sharing that story. You and your team must be constantly learning to work with the companies that you work with and to do the good that you're doing through innovation and technology. Where do you go to learn?
I'm a sucker for a good email newsletter, which sounds like so lame, but I do love a good email newsletter. But I love
that.
MarTech is one of my favorites in just that marketing technology space. Civic Science is a great data and trend newsletter. It's also a little snarky, which I'm there for. So I appreciate that one as well. But more than that, I like to try to reverse engineer things I see out in the wild. So if I see something interesting in my Instagram feed or, an ad in any space, that we might be in or an article that I think had some strategy behind getting that, you know, earned media place, I just try to reverse engineer it, to think about what were they trying to accomplish here? How did they target? What did they do to deliver that? And that's where I get the most inspired is just kind of reverse engineering micro moments that I see out in the wild.
Well, that's a really good practice. And I bet you it's hard for a lot of people to do that because we're constantly bombarded, whether it's the newsletters coming in, social media, there's so many bings and dings and notifications and things to look at. But it sounds like you're taking a moment to really focus on something and to find a way to be more creative or innovative
Absolutely.
And to do it better.
When we see something that adds value to us that's out in, you know, marketing or it's a communication piece, as a marketer, I like to ask that, well, why did that add value to me? And what was their insight or their technology that connected that? And how can I bring that to, you know, a client campaign or to Saxum's marketing?
That's really good. So you have all of these tools and resources, and you're being innovative, and your teams are rising and grinding and shining every single day. You must get stressed. There must be some level, teeny bit of stress that you all go through. So for you, what do you think is, how do you handle stress?
Yeah. Well, I am an avid tennis player.
Ooh.
And I picked it up right as the pandemic started. So I've been 2 years doing this, and it has been the most phenomenal thing for my stress. And I know people say, like, I exercise or I do all this. And I'll admit, I wasn't a regular like exerciser until I found tennis. But what it does for me, and I think people could find different ways to accomplish this, is it engages the mind because I have to think about what I'm doing. So it takes my mind off of anything else, and it puts it into a very in the moment, tactical, but still strategic mindset. It gets my body moving, which just helps get me going. But it also connects me with other women that just fill my bucket as well. So I have a wonderful tennis team that we do all that. So it just kind of checks all of those buckets of having a social connection, getting your mind off of it, getting you moving, and just helps me reframe my perspective of what really matters. You know, the stress of the day is typically not something life-threatening. It's nothing right. that is really warrants my emotional reaction that I'm having. And so I've just found that outlet allows me to just balance out the way I need.
That's really good. Two things come to mind. I often say, how is this helping me right now? Or is this going to matter 5 years from now? Because it's not surgery. And then the other is, I remember saying, I had never played tennis before, and somebody asked me to play tennis. And I said, oh, that looks easy. No, tennis is not easy. So good for you to be in the mind and the moment and balancing the tactical and the strategy. Absolutely amazing. Okay, so we talked a little bit about stress. What makes for a successful day at Saxon?
Well, my most successful days always start out with just connecting with my family. So we are early risers and we do coffee time together. So that just starts me in the right frame of mind. And then I want to get there. If I am in the office like I am today, if I'm working from home, I want to start before all the Slack start coming in, the emails start coming in, so that I have time to ground my intention for the day. What do I need to accomplish? What do I want to accomplish? And just being able to have that plan sets me up for success in that day. And then I love a day where I am all over the place, where I get to contribute to a client, to a team member, where I get to think about the business. When I have a good mix of that, that's an energizing day for me.
That sounds like a great day. It's so funny when I hear an executive say, you know, I'm planning for the day before the emails and the Slack come in. We never would have been saying that years ago. That's true. Really funny. So, well, it sounds like you set your intentions and you have a really good day. When you say you have coffee with the family, do you have children that you're having coffee with?
Yes, I am. I'm married. I have a 11-year-old and 8-year-old. Now, they're not drinking coffee.
I was wondering.
They still come to coffee time. We've always called it that since they were like little, but yeah, we do that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you told me you had 20 somethings, that there's no way, no way. So I'm glad you clarified on that one. Well, I can hardly believe I'm going to ask you this question, but it's for you to give parting advice to the Women Worldwide Network. What do you want to tell everybody out there about women and leadership and just ways that they can also set themselves up for success in a day?
Yeah. You know, we are in a time when it is easier to divide than unite. We have a very divisive and polar pressures coming on businesses, on organizations, on leaders, on government. Wherever you are, it's very divided. And I think women have an opportunity to unite and not divide and to be that type of a leader. And I think that that's an opportunity to lean into, because who says you can't? there's amazing things that I think women leaders can do.
That's amazing. Women will be the uniters and not the dividers. Great, great advice. Amy, thank you so much. Now, why don't you let everybody know where they can find out more about you and Saxum?
Absolutely. You can find out about Saxum at saxum.com. That's SAXUM.com. Or connect with me on LinkedIn at Amy Piles.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing your journey and all of your advice with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. This was fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And thank you to everybody for tuning in today. As I always say, keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. You know where to find me. I am on Twitter. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. And you can find me on LinkedIn too. Okay, everybody. As I say, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.